This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I hear madhouse.
That's creepy.
It's terrifying.
I wouldn't come down here alone.
Feels like I'm being punched.
Two red marks on my arm.
He got shot?
It does not have a happy ending.
The energy is anxious, angry. This is seriously the worst place to be.
Something bad's going to happen.
My name is Amy Allen.
There's panic, and it's almost like a butchering.
I see dead people.
They all died horribly.
I speak to dead people.
Get out of here!
And they speak to me.
Vicious.
But there's only one way to know if my findings are real.
It doesn't matter where you are, I'll find you.
I rely on my partner.
I'm Steve DiShavi. I'm a retired New York City homicide detective.
This guy's a real piece of work.
And I know every person, every house, a secret.
I feel like I live in a house of hell.
It's my job to reveal them.
This is not good.
But Steve and I never speak.
We never communicate during an investigation.
Until the very end.
I want my life back.
When we uncover if it's safe for you to stay.
Is he trying to kill her?
Or time to get out.
Oh my God.
This is going to kill us.
I'm out here in Marshall, Missouri. It's about 90 miles east of Kansas City. I got a call from a woman who saved the small city's only movie theater. Now, here's the problem. She believes something there is not happy about it and wants her out. She's so scared for her staff and family, she's agreed to close the theater for a few days during our investigation. She said if we can't help her, she may have to walk away and shut the doors.
Before Amy arrives, it's important that I clear the area of any leading information. I can't hide that this is a movie theater, but I still need to cover anything that might distract her during her walk. When I'm finished, the location will be ready for tonight.
There's a lot of dead people that come around, and I feel like they're sick or crazy. And I hear madhouse. There's a lot of competition here between the dead, competing for attention. And like, for some reason, they don't like each other.
I'm hearing,
this is where the dead throw down.
Well, Kim, this is a really quaint looking place you got here. But when you're on the phone with me, you sounded really desperate. What's going on?
We purchased the theater 4 years ago.
Okay.
There was an ad in the paper that said it was going to be shut down. Marshall is a small town, and like many towns, it has been struggling.
A lot of stuff is closed down here.
Yes. It would be a very big blow to Marshall to not have a movie theater. It would be like turning off that last light.
But why do you gotta be the responsible one?
I grew up in Marshall. I came to this movie theater as a child. I raised my kids here.
So you want to preserve that?
Yes. This is the theater. When it was really old.
Doesn't even have the marquee out front, right?
No.
So what exactly is everybody experiencing?
Noises that just can't be explained. Laughter, voice mimicry, things being moved. Several people have been touched. A couple people have actually seen shadow figures.
Okay. How many people do you have on staff?
15, and a lot of those are my family. Actually, I have a picture. My son, Damon, he's 22. My daughter, Allie, is 23. And my dad, he just turned 64. I'm worried about my dad.
Why?
I feel like it's really narrowing in on him. It's definitely created a lot of anxiety and tension. I'm afraid for what's next. I want my staff and my family to feel that they're safe. And I want people to know that the theater will always be here.
That's creepy. There's a lot of people here.
Any idea how many?
I feel like I met the whole town.
A lot of the dead people here go in your body. If they're jumped by those people, they might change.
How?
I think people could get really depressed, suddenly violently ill. Oh my God.
What?
I just don't think it's gonna be good down there because like all the people. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay, so why'd you bring me down here?
I feel just a sense of unease, anxiety, like I'm being watched. Nobody wants to come down here, to be honest.
So it's that bad down here?
Yes.
Anything else happening to you down here?
I hear a lot of noises. It sounds like somebody's, like, banging around on things.
You got pipes, you got wood walls, you got concrete floors, I mean...
It's not the kind of clanking that you would hear with a furnace shutting off or on. It's almost like it wants to get my attention.
Now, you sure these noises aren't coming from a staff member?
Whenever I've heard these noises, I knew I was alone in the building.
Wow. What do you think is here?
That's what I'm really hoping to find out with your help.
I don't think the living would have good experiences down here. There's a lot of death here. A lot of hustle and bustle. A lot of bad people in and out, in and out. I feel like my head gets beat. I feel like impacts to my head. The people here, I don't know why they're here. They're yelling and screaming. They're sick, sick. So much oppression, oppression.
So Amber, I was talking to Kim and she told me you're one of the oldest employees here.
Yes, that's correct.
How long have you been working here?
18 years.
Okay. Have you had experiences along those 18 years?
Yes, I've had several. The most recent one is I was pinched. I was downstairs in the concession stand and I felt a pinch on my arm. And I looked down and I had two red marks on my arm.
Did you feel like it was fingers or something?
It felt like a person pinching, yes.
Wow. Anything else going on?
We were starting up a movie up here, and on the screen, there was like the silhouette of a man. I could tell that he was tall and thin, and he had like broad shoulders.
Okay, could have been somebody behind the curtain?
No. I don't even think you can get behind the screen.
Okay.
The only way would be to stand in front of the window.
Okay.
Up there.
So was anybody in the room with you?
No, I was there by myself.
Was there something wrong with the film?
No, we played a later showing of it, and when I turned it on for the next showing, it was fine.
Wow. Okay.
This is seriously the worst place to be. Living people up here would see a lot of shadow people who can see them in the seats. Swooping all over the place. It's like chaotic up here. The energy is bad, anxious, angry. I feel very sick.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, Paul, I was talking to your daughter, Kimberly, and she's really worried about you. She thinks that whatever's here is actually targeting you, picking on you. Do you agree with that?
I'm beginning to.
You are?
It's the activity is getting a little more personal. I feel like I'm sharing this building with a being that's not human. I'm not sure that I'm the one that brought this here, or there's just something about me that makes me vulnerable to these things.
Why? Have you had experiences before the theater here?
Yes.
You have? Where was that?
This was at a house in Kansas City. From the time I was 16 until I was 23, the house was very active. What scares me the most is that they may have returned. I may have brought them from Kansas City and they're just showing up now. But I'm afraid that my daughter or her staff may end up experiencing some of the things that I have that's something I couldn't even apologize for.
So tell me about a few things that happened to you.
I heard a young girl laughing. I looked up and down and around. I thought, if I can find the source or the direction it's coming from, then I can investigate that area. But it didn't work.
Was anybody here?
I was the only one here.
Anything else?
I was toward the back of the theater and heard a extremely loud boom. I describe it as somebody dropping a bowling ball on a wood floor from 25 or 30 feet.
That loud?
Yeah. I didn't know what to think.
Now, is it possible that it was a loop from a movie that was playing here?
No movies were showing. Projectors were shut down. And I was the only one here.
Okay.
And there's like this woman who is there. She's all dressed in black. This woman is dressed in black.
I've never experienced anything like this. Every time I turn around, I see another dead person, and just about all of them are angry.
She's like in here. She really doesn't care for many of the people here. They bother her often. So then she gets angry and she does throw fits. When she throws fits, she throws things. I'm hearing a lot of noise, like if she's like throwing metal, like pots and pans banging and stuff, you know what I mean? She's got a lot of issues.
You said things are getting more personal. What do you mean by that?
About a year after I started working here, I was doing some work behind the screen in the hallway, and I felt a fairly firm grip on my left shoulder.
Now, Paul, I really want to see where you got grabbed. Can you show me?
Yes.
Okay.
I was installing this plywood on the back of that framework of that structure.
Okay, so you were facing this way?
Facing toward the screen. And right after that, I felt a firm grip on my left shoulder, but I immediately turned around. I knew no one could fit behind me.
Now, there's a lot of stuff back here. You sure something didn't fall on you?
It wasn't something that fell and bounced. It was a firm grip that, as soon as I turned around, they released it.
Now, Paul, I can see why your daughter's so worried about you.
It feels like I'm being punched. My heart is pounding. A male, he's dead and he doesn't feel good being dead. He feels terrible.
Does he have any kind of interaction with the living?
He goes in their body. That's how he communicates. I think that people would feel very drained by him. They would feel almost frozen physically, like they couldn't move or walk. They wouldn't be able to breathe well. I think that they might even feel like they're having a heart attack.
Now, this doesn't happen very often, but the very first call I made paid off. I reached out to the local county sheriff, and he tells me one of the very first managers of Kimberly's Theater was involved in a bizarre homicide. He says the story involved betrayal, revenge, and was finally settled with a bullet.
You mentioned on the phone that there was this love triangle that ended up in a homicide directly associated with the theater I'm investigating.
Yes, sir. Back in 1932, a gentleman by the name of Frank Chellode was offered a promotion to manage what was called back then the Fox Theater.
Okay.
So he moved his wife, that's Gladys Chellode, and his infant daughter to Marshall.
So what happened? What went wrong?
A few months after the Chellodes took over, Frank Chellode got wind that his wife was having an affair with a gentleman by the name of Estelle Turner.
Okay.
And this would be Mr. Estelle Turner. Estelle Turner was a young man, 21 years old, worked over here at the local shoe factory back in those days.
This guy looks kind of smug, too.
He does. Frank finds out, and then he approaches Estelle Turner. Frank Chellode offers him this sort of a deal. He said, well, if you're not going to leave her alone, he said, I'll just back out of the picture and give Gladys to you on one condition, and that condition is you're going to have to marry her. Estelle thinks about it a couple minutes and says, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to carry the weight of breaking up your family. I'll just leave her alone.
So, Sheriff, I know this doesn't have a happy ending, this story.
It does not have a happy ending.
Okay, so what happens next?
About maybe a month later, Frank celloid and takes his wife Gladys to a dance over at the Old Elks Lodge, which at that time was right across the street from the theater that he was managing. Estelle Turner shows up.
Okay.
And sometime during the dance, Estelle Turner comes over and approaches Gladys and asks her for a dance and starts talking to her.
You got a lot of balls on this guy, right?
Yes. Frank celloid approached Estelle Turner and yells, you know, if you don't leave my wife alone, I'm going to kill you.
I would have killed this guy a long time ago.
You and I both.
What happens?
Frank leaves the theater alone. Estelle approaches Frank celloid and they get into another argument. Frank celloid gets angry enough that he pulls a .380 semi-automatic pistol from his pocket and fires a round into Estelle Turner's chest.
So he winds up shooting this guy right in front of the theater.
Exactly right. About 10 minutes later, Estelle Turner dies. And I have a copy of the death certificate.
Gunshot wound in the hands of Frank J. Celloid. Did the cops collar him that night? They arrest him that night?
They arrest him that night. He is charged with first-degree murder. He actually is arraigned in this courtroom the next day.
Right here?
Right here. This is pretty much where he stood. After the jury deliberates about 7 hours, they come back and they find him not guilty.
You're kidding.
I actually have a news article here, big headlines. That was a big deal back in 1933.
What was his defense?
Back in those days, there was this kind of this unwritten law to where if something or somebody threatens your family, you have a right to defend your family.
This guy who jumps people, someone hated him a lot. They hated him. Hated him. And he finally got him. The pain I'm feeling is in my upper chest, but it goes out my back. I want to say he got shot. And then I'm hearing a woman screaming and falling down. I don't think he was expecting this. And I think he's really shocked. And he can't move on from this. Because it's like a pride thing.
So far, I've got a theater being terrorized by unexplained activity and a murder that took place right outside its front door. But I still need to see if there's anything else. Searching through old records, I find another deadly shooting involving a guy named James Ming. Turns out he managed a hotel that used to operate right across the street from my client's property. So I've called on the Marshall Police Chief, who says he's going to look into this case for me. So, Mike, thanks for meeting me and helping me out with my case. Now, you know the theater I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I worked there for 6 years.
You worked there?
Yes.
Anything strange happened to you that you couldn't explain?
I was always kind of eerie, especially like if you're the last person there closing up. You didn't want to be there alone too much.
Okay. So, Mike, the articles I had seen, it looked like Ming killed somebody that worked for him. Is that right?
What I found out was Ming took over management of Ming House Hotel in 1872.
Okay.
It was about 100 feet from the theater, but it's not in existence anymore.
Now, is Ming a Chinese guy or a white guy?
He's a white guy, late 50s. On December 22nd of 1898, Ming asked for his porter, Emmett Craddock, to come to his room. Craddock is a 27-year-old black male.
Okay.
And he's working for him, but he's not there. He's out running errand for the hotel. Well, by the time he gets back, Ming's outraged. He's screaming racial slurs at him, telling him to leave the hotel.
So he's firing him, basically.
Yes. Craddock says, hey, if you'll give me my day's wage, I'll leave, but I'm not leaving until I get paid. It gets heated, and Ming's upset that he has a porter that's talking to him and addressing him in a way that he shouldn't be since he's the manager of this hotel.
Okay.
But it escalated, and at that point in time, Ming shot him in the head with a .32 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver. Ming, who was high on opiates at the point in time, was beyond reasoning with.
Okay, so Mike, I'm assuming he got charged with this crime.
He was charged with the crime, but he was deemed legally insane, so he was never tried for the crime. They sent him to an asylum in Nevada, Missouri, about 150 miles from here.
Okay, so now does he spend the rest of his life in this place?
Actually, no. After about 3 months of being in the asylum, he escapes about May of 1900. When they caught him, they wanted him to pack up and come back with them. So when he went back to the room, he pulled out a large revolver and shot himself in the head.
There's some man, and he's telling me to f off and get out of here and leave him alone, and he just wants to be alone. He doesn't want anybody here. I want to say he's between like 1870 and 1910. He was a drinker, big drinker. He's just wasted, you know, he's drunk. He likes stumbling around and, you know. Oh, he's horrible and everybody hates him and all this kind of. He got all the blame and he's the one to blame. And, oh, he's just tired of it. He feels very guilty. He's just showing me like dead bodies. He's like, look at the mess I made. Look at the mess I made.
Another thing caught my eye during the research, the unsolved murder of a woman. The last place she's seen alive is right next to the theater I'm investigating. I've called on a local author who's written about the homicide, and he says he's got information that will definitely help my case. Now, Jason, what do you know about this case?
The woman's name was Nellie Price. She was 42 years old, and she worked for a shoe manufacturer in town. Her father was sick, so she cared for her father.
Okay, so what are the circumstances of her disappearance? Does anybody know what happened?
On April 10th, 1937, she left work and was walking to a local nightclub to meet a date, a man named Joe Smiley. She was walking in front of a car dealership. She was on the sidewalk. That was the last time she was seen, and it was right next to the property you're investigating.
She was never seen again after that?
No, she just vanished. She'd been missing for 17 days. And this was a really small town in 1937. People just didn't go missing like that. The town was panicking. They really wanted to find her. The entire town searched. The county, all the county officials, city officials were looking for her. There's the article on it. They found her on a sandbank. Her arms and legs were bound with copper wire, and she'd been weighed down with window weights and a steel rod.
Okay, so what was the official cause of death?
This is the certificate of death. It says right here, strangulation and murder.
Okay, what about this Joe Smiley? Cops talked to him?
Well, he was the only suspect that they had, and then they dismissed him really early because he had an alibi.
So did the investigators ever come up with any workable leads?
Sadly, no. I mean, 77 years later, we still don't know who killed her.
That's a shame.
The lady in black, she's like crying now. Oh, she's a mess. She's crying, crying, crying. The lady in black who throws things is having a breakdown. She's frantically telling me what happened to her. She's talking about a male named Joe. I don't know their relationship, but this is weird. I think she was in love with him or loved him. She's like, say, it's very complicated. Okay, there's a lot of emotion here. I think he's dead. She feels like she's an old woman, but I don't think that she really is. She's saying that old is like 40. She went missing. Something happened, like, I don't know, she was married or engaged, something with this engagement or something. She was running, she was outside, it was cold, and she's wet. She feels trapped. The neck. Ow, it hurts a lot. She was very sad. And something about falling down. Like she falls down.
I saw dozens of dead people during my walk, but the dead man who can jump the living had me the most concerned.
He's stuck kind of in his death state. He had a very chiseled face. He had a strong jaw, and he was wearing a suit. And I want to show, like, the dead guy kind of entering the person's body.
Is this what you saw?
Yes.
Now that Amy and I have completed our investigations, we're ready to reveal our findings to each other and our clients for the first time.
So, Amy, I'd like you to meet Kimberly.
4 years ago, this historic theater was pretty much going to get torn down. She grew up in this town and wasn't about to let the town's only theater fail. So she bought it. This is Paul, it's her dad. Paul spends a lot of time here doing odd jobs. He's here almost every day. He seems to be the main target of the paranormal activity in this place. Kimberly really wants to keep the doors open, but not if it's going to put her family and employees at risk. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy and see what she can tell us about her walk.
It was an interesting walk. I felt like I met anybody who's dead in this town. It was absolutely overwhelming. The major thing that I felt was anxiety and illness, which is associated with a lot of the dead that are here.
There's just an overwhelming sense of unease and anxiety. Nobody wants to be here alone.
I can see why. So the first person that I met was a female. She was saying that she felt so old. I'm like, well, you know, how old? She's like 40.
Oh my.
She was extremely sad. She did state that she had gone missing. She also wears this long lace dress and it was all wet. And then she's talking about like a fight with her family and something about a guy. She did say that his name was Joe. I think that she was in love with him. The problems that she has here specifically is she doesn't care for the living very much. She feels like she's not wanted here. The pain I felt with her was a lot of neck pain. It was extremely intense. And she was showing me her throwing a fit. The sound that I think the living would hear would be like banging.
Oh my God.
Somebody going ballistic.
You hear banging in the basement, you were telling me?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it sounds like, metal hitting metal. Okay. Or, you know, it's like a clanging. It's not your typical pipe noise.
I heard two extremely loud noises after working here for about 6 months. One I describe as dropping a 16-pound bowling ball 25 or 30 feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I got a pretty good idea who you're talking about. April 10th of 1937, it was a 42-year-old woman by the name of Nellie Price. She was on her way to a date at a local nightclub. The man she was meeting was a guy named Joe Smiley.
Oh, my God.
But she never made her date. She disappeared into thin air. The last place she was seen was a car dealership, which was right next to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the town went into a panic, and it was like all hands on deck for a search for her. I got an article about her murder. Finally, 17 days later, she's found by a fisherman in a sandbar in the Missouri River.
Oh, my gosh. Right, what?
Now, you mentioned something about the neck, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I got her death certificate right here. Cause of death is strangulation.
Wow.
Now, the police did question one suspect. It was this guy, Joe Smiley, that she was supposed to meet that night. But he had an alibi, and that was it. Now, it's 77 years later, and it's still an unsolved case here.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
I have her picture when she was a little bit younger.
Wow.
So could that be her?
I think so, yeah, definitely.
So unfair.
I just feel heartbroken for her.
What else did you see?
I saw a lot going on up here, a lot with talking with the dead up here, a lot of commotion. And one of the things that I saw was shadow people. You can see them in the seats. Sweeping all over the place.
Oh my gosh.
there was an incident where my staff member was starting the movie, and when she turned on the projector, the screen right here showed a black shadow figure that was really large, almost filling the whole screen.
Wow. Then I was in a hallway that leads to the basement. And when I was back there, I saw a dead guy on the floor. And he's very much stuck in his death state. What I was able to get from him was that there was a woman screaming. She fell over, and it had something to do with him. And there was another male who absolutely hated him, had it out for him. Like, this man felt hunted almost. And then he said the guy who hated him finally got him. And then what I felt was an impact on the left side in the heart and exiting out the back. I thought that he was shot.
Now, a lot of the stuff she's just talking about reminds me of a deadly love triangle that started and ended here in your theater.
Okay. What?
Back in 1932, this guy, Frank Cello, moved his wife, Gladys, an infant daughter here to Marshall to manage this theater. This is Frank Cello. And this is his wife, Gladys. Now, about 6 months after they got into town, Gladys started having an affair.
Wow.
With a 21-year-old factory worker. His name was Estelle Turner. I got his photo as well. Frank confronted him. He said, listen, I know you're having an affair with my wife. If you're going to do that, just take her. But the deal is you have to marry her.
Wow.
Bizarre, right?
Yeah.
Estelle says, I don't want to be breaking up anybody's family. I'll just leave her alone. And ends it. So now Frank thought the whole thing was over. Everything was fine. Then a month later, Frank took Gladys to a dance right across the street from the theater here. Guess who else was at the dance? Estelle. He had the balls to come over to his wife after everything and try to get her to dance with him.
Oh, no.
So Frank got in his face. He says, if you don't leave my wife alone, I'll kill you. Now, Frank was pretty fired up, and he left. But Estelle wound up following him, and they wound up getting into another argument right in front of the theater. Witnesses can hear Frank telling Estelle that you lied to me about staying away from his wife.
Okay.
He pulls out a gun and puts one right in his chest. Right into his spinal cord. I got his death certificate here. It says gunshot wounds at the hands of Frank Chellode.
Wow.
Do you guys know about this?
No.
I've been here 40 years. Never heard of it.
Now, do you think this guy Estelle is who you saw?
I mean, there's a lot of correlations there.
Well, let me ask you a question. You mentioned the hallway behind the screen.
Uh-huh.
So this is where Paul's having a lot of interactions.
I was working in the hall, and I felt a hand on my shoulder, on my left shoulder. I thought it was my daughter, but I turned around, looked up and down the hall. There was nobody.
Wow.
That really concerns me.
Because he, like, comes up from behind a lot, and he can jump people.
I think that people would feel almost frozen physically, like they couldn't move or walk. They might even feel like they're having a heart attack.
The pain I felt was not typical. It was very severe and long-lasting.
I have a condition that I got shortly after we took over the theater. The doctors tell me I should be getting better, but I'm not. I'm not getting better. I'm not feeling better.
The muscle pain, the spinal
muscles,
pain.
Joints, spine.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
I did do a sketch of what I saw.
Wow. Take a look at this.
Oh, my God.
That's scary.
Now, we talked about Paul getting grabbed on the shoulder. Does it sound like it could be this guy?
That would probably be him, yeah.
I'm convinced that's him.
What is his ultimate goal when he does that?
He wants people to feel how he feels, mm-hmm. Period.
Mm-hmm. I gotta tell you something. Paul had experiences earlier on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt that he somehow brought them here.
You don't think so?
No.
So that's gotta make you feel better.
Much better. I'm so glad you said that. I felt I had some ability to be a magnet for bad things. So, thank you.
So, Kimberly, you saved this theater for the people that live in your town. You had no way of knowing it would also be a meeting place for the dead.
No.
All right, what's done is done. All right, we got to look to the future. Question is, can you stay here safely with your family and employees, or is it time to get out and then take a wrecking ball to this place? For that answer, I'm going to turn it over to my partner, Amy.
You have a lot going on here. So the goal is to help as many people move on as possible and to clear the building so that you guys can set up a safe space for your family. So the first thing, we have the dead woman, Nellie. I think we all want to help her. And the best way to do that is to have a female medium come in and spend some time with her and allow her to talk. What's very important is to also make the statement from the medium to Nellie that if she wants to bring anybody else with her from here, to do it now. There will be a lot of dead that want to go with her to the next place.
Now, how did I get rid of this guy who jumps people?
So what we want to do is bring in a priest. I want him to come 3 times over 3 months to do a blessing of the entire building. The other thing that the priest needs to do is to give him his last rites.
Really?
And then he'll leave. And where he goes, the shadow people go.
Okay, so you'll kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yes. There is one more step, and this is something that you're doing to make it peaceful and quiet here. There's a lot of residual here. There's a lot of timelines that are overlapping and stuff, and this is just muck. So what I want you to do is every month, just take some salt, and in each location, just sprinkle some salt. And while you're doing that, you're saying, only love, light, and peace may enter. All negativity must go. And what that's going to do is just kind of build an energetic wall of purity to keep the dead out.
So when they do all these steps, this place should be pretty good then.
Yes.
You have a look of relief on your face.
I'm very happy that there can be a resolution.
The Calvary. The Calvary is here.
Do I even have to ask if you're going to take Amy's advice?
I am definitely taking Amy's advice.
It won't be easy removing the layers of dead inside this location. But with the help of a medium and a priest, the dead will be set free, keeping Kimberly and her employees and customers safe from harm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.